praise for half an hour. Praise God. Father, we want to thank you tonight for this hungry crowd of people. We thank you for your wonderful blessings. Thank you that we're in the family of God. Thank you that there's benefits attached to being in the family, your family, Lord. We thank you tonight that your word will be spoken with mighty power, with demonstration, with illumination of the Spirit, that people will know exactly where they are and what they need to do, what the next move is. People will get answers to prayer tonight. People will get answers to they've been waiting for. I want to thank you that in advance, and as we praised you this evening, and as we praised you last night, as we honored your word and give you praise in advance, what you would do, you will never fail your word. We thank you that we honor your word. And because we honor your word, you said things are going to happen. So giving you all the praise right now in advance, all the glory for what will happen in our lives. We thank you that every ear will be a ear that's wide open, that there'll be no hindrances. We put aside our thoughts. We put aside our assignment just to focus on your word tonight and to honor that word, the word that gives life, that it will change my circumstance. It will change my body. This word will change my finances. It'll change my outlook. It'll change different things, adversity in my life. Because this word, as we honor, will do something marvelous among the people. We give you praise tonight, Lord, for what it would do. And so I thank you. I'm excited about it. I'm excited for what is going to happen in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Amen. I want you to turn to Psalm 34. I want to talk about the weapon of praise and thanksgiving. Our topic is prayer. And of course, one of the prayers that we need to learn about is praise, worship, and thanksgiving. You know, it's a form of prayer because it's a, you know, the definition of prayer is communion with God. And, you know, we say, you know, prayer is talking to God. Well, we don't just talk to God, we have to listen to God too. So prayer is communication with God. And when we talk to God, when we praise God, we're in connection, we're having intimacy with God, we're telling him how wonderful he is. The Bible says your praise comes up as a sweet incense before his nose. How many people know when you give money to somebody, when you bless somebody, that comes as a sweet offering unto the Lord? When you bring your offerings as incense going up before the nostrils of God. The Bible says, as you know, you think about, I can't remember his name right now, but I believe it's chapter 10 of the book of Acts. There's a man by the name of Cornelius. And Cornelius was not a Christian. But the Bible said this man, Cornelius, honored God. He was not born again. He honored God and he gave God money. He gave to the poor. He gave to the church. He gave to the temple. The Bible says one day this man, his alms came up as a sweet incense unto the Lord. It came up as a sweet blessing to God. Did you know when you give offerings to God, that comes up as a sweet incense and God remembers you? When you give money to a poor person, I'm not talking about somebody just bumming around in the street and just wasting their time on nothing else, but someone who's legitimately poor, and, you know, yes, those guys are poor, but there's a reason why they're poor. There's some people that are poor because of adverse circumstances in their lives. They didn't cause that. Some people cause their own poverty. But, you know, when you give money to somebody, God begins to bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. How many wants to go for a blessing? Well, we'll take an offering right now. I'll go buy some chicken right after this. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm just like, on the inside of me, like just really excited. I just came from, I went for a walk with Sully, and he's a really wonderful guy. He's like a human being. He's an animal. Sometimes I say, Sully, you're an animal. And sometimes, you know, they say that in the gym. They say, you know, Roma, you're an animal. You know, but that's just a joke. So don't go around saying derogatory. Anyway, let's forget I said all that. Hallelujah. I'm so happy. I just want to just stand here and just smile and drink a water. Water. You know, people who praise just get happy. Hallelujah. Toothless and all, just happy. Happy as anything. Amen. Okay, did you find Psalm 34? Glory to God. Psalm 34. I think my usher is going to have lots of editing to do. But let's go in our Bibles. We'll start all over again. We're going to pray. Amen? Stand up for a second. Glory to God. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Say, I'm going to receive something tonight. In fact, I'm going to receive lots tonight. I'm going to receive revelation tonight. Things are going to change around here. First, it's going to start with me. Then it's going to work outward. My body's going to change. Healing is going to flow in there. My wallet's going to change. My bank account. Money is going to be given to me. Say, doors are going to be opened unto me. I'm a giver. I'm a tither. I'm a lover of Jesus. I'm a lover of people. Thank God. Things are changing around here. And it started with me. Lift your hands and thank God right now. Oh, we praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, be seated. Don't get too excited about the hockey game tonight. Psalm, we're talking about praise, worship, and thanksgiving. That's our area of topic. And I'm going to talk to you about, you know, I titled it something else on my Facebook, but I changed my mind a little bit. Is that okay if you change your mind?
Yeah,
And so the title is, I got the mic so I'll talk to you. The title is Understanding the Benefits of Praise and Worship and Thanksgiving. You know, there's a benefit to praising God. There's a reason to praise God. Amen? So Psalm 34, 1 to 3, let's go ahead and look at that. Let's put it on the big screen. If you don't have a Bible, look at the screens. If you don't, have one, and if you don't have one, we'll give you one if you need one. In fact, you can download a Bible, many versions, on your BlackBerry. How many of you will use BlackBerries? One guy. Throw them out right now. Ushers. And he's an usher himself. He got to throw himself out. Anyway, how many of you got Androids? Oh, my Lord Jesus. Thank God for Androids. Huh? How many of you have an Apple? Oh, my Lord Jesus. Look at this. How many of you still have a tablet? You still got a book in your hand. You need a book. And that's what you have to start with. I believe that you need a pencil and paper. Glory to God. Let's start all over again. Did you find Psalm 34? I told you there's something funny in here. You know, people say, what are you laughing at? I don't know what I'm laughing at. It's just something that's just funny sometimes when you're in the Spirit. You know, when you get drunk in the Spirit, everything's funny. You know, my dad, I used to talk about my dad. When my dad drink, you know, he'd what we call gimuj, you know, he'd do it by himself, and no one looking, he'd go and take a bottle and go in the wood, you know, by the wood pile, and he'd pretend to cut wood, and he'd get smiling and everything else. And my mother, he's cooking food, and he comes up to you, have you been drinking? Mac, have you been drinking? No, he says. He's all smiling like that, you know. He said, I know that pussycat. Look, you must have been drinking there. But that's what happens when the Holy Ghost comes in the service. Everybody starts smiling. You say, what are you smiling about? I don't know. You get a little high in the spirit, praise God. Amen? Well, we're talking about praise, worship, and thanksgiving. And we're going to entitle this Understanding the Benefits of Praise and Worship and Thanksgiving. So Psalm 34, 1-3, the Bible says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Every Christian needs to understand the prayer of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. It's a huge part of the Christian life. All believers ought to have a personal or a corporate time of praise. Now, you know, it's okay to praise God and be thankful by yourself, but there's a time when you share your praise and you share your thanksgiving with other people. You say, well, it's a private matter. No, listen to me. The Bible is much more smarter than you. You say, well, I don't praise that loud because that's not my style. It's not about style. It's about what you have to do. You need to break out of your ways. Amen? Amen. Anyway, praise God. Now, all of us need to learn about how to praise in our own private life. The people who praise in the private life seem to do a whole lot better in a corporate setting. And you need to praise in front of your children. Let them see you, close your eyes, lift your hands, and praise God. It's important that you do that. The Bible tells us to do that. The Bible actually tells us to praise God in front of our children. They need to see you praising God. And so, if you don't have a child, just do it in front of your dog. Find some cat or something, just start praising. And so, it also, there's a time when we need to praise God together. There's a time when we get together and we praise God. There's a reason for it. God has this worked out for us for a reason. Like people just sit there, sometimes praise and worship, they're sitting there and they're standing like this. And they don't know reason why to praise. They have no idea why they should be praising. They think it happens to be our style in this church. No, the Bible is full of this thing. And people have been delivered because they've done it. And we can't be ashamed of praising our God. We can't be worried about who's looking at you, what kind of style you have. And how you lift your hands up. And some people lift their hands like this. Some people lift their hands like this. Some people like that. Some people like that. Some people like this. You know, it doesn't really matter. The Bible says we should be free in lifting holy hands. The Bible says that in the Scriptures. To feel free. No one's going to stop you from praising God. It's important. It's very important to praise the Lord. You know, so don't, be oppressed. Allow yourself to be oppressed. No. So there's a time of a personal praise, worship, and thanksgiving. There's a time of a corporate in the same. There's a place of praise and worship and thanksgiving in all our lives on a regular and daily basis. There's a time to thank God. We need to know the reasons why God asks us to praise. We need to know why. If he said, praise me, we need to know why he said to do it. We need to know these reasons, and we need to take it into account. We need to know why we should be thankful. What happens when someone is thankful in their lives? And so what happens when somebody is not thankful? What happens when somebody doesn't care to give God thanks? You're not thankful for someone giving you stuff. And we need to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Let's look at some scriptures and see some benefits of thanksgiving tonight. First of all, the definition of praise, worship, and thanksgiving, there are variations and shades of the meaning of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. And whatever it is, it's going to all end up in the same thing. So thanksgiving means to extend your hands to God, to express gratitude from your heart, and to acknowledge the goodness of God. So when you're lifting your hands, you're acknowledging. You know, the Bible even says they're lifting up holy hands is like a sacrifice of praise. It takes some energy from you. It takes something out of you to give God an extension of your hands and to praise Him. Rather than sitting here, you know, we've talked to people in our church here recently. We said, you know, when you come to a house of God, you need to come here and to worship God for you know, whatever 15 minutes or an hour we spend here. You can go ahead and text at home. You can go ahead and call your friends later on. Why don't you just give God some time? Amen. Amen. Yeah. And so, I mean, we need to have a reverence for God. And you know, we need to learn how to do that, because things are going to go our way a whole lot better.
That's right.
When we do that. So thanksgiving, in a real, you know, from the Greek, it talks about that. So worship means to prostrate before God, to revere God and to adore God and to minister to God. When you worship God, you know, you come before Him, and you put your heart before Him, and you put yourself in that, and you adore God. You adore God like you would adore a wonderful little child. You would just say, "Oh, what a wonderful little child," and you give that to God, and you say, "God, how wonderful You are! You're an awesome God." And we worship God. He's awesome. Amen? And so that's what we have to do. This is what I'm talking about. This, and I, you know, let me just tell you, I told my staff the other day, I said, you know what? People can't be blamed, because if you're not taught this, you're not going to do this. You won't have faith to do this if you've never been taught. How could you correct someone who's never been taught something? If I teach you, then I can correct you. But if I didn't teach you that, then, you know, it's my fault or somebody else's fault, Pastor Kent's fault or Pastor Steve. And that's why Pastor Steve came and exhorted people, because he needs to learn we need somebody here who can actually pull up the crowd and worship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to have a cheerleader who can do that. You know, so thank God for that. We need to teach people. We give people the permission in this church to praise God, to lift hands up. It's the time to lift hands up. And you need to have that permission from the people up here to say, "Come on, people, it's time to worship." Not to put you down and say, "You know, what's wrong with you?" Hallelujah. It's time for a new time here. Now, praise, what does praise mean? Praise means to boast. You ever boast about your kids on Facebook and say, "Look, she's doing, oh, look, wonderful hair she has. Look how beautiful she looks. Look, she can sing a nice song. She's finished her grade 12. Woo! How many of you ever praise your child? Huh? You need to learn how to do that some more. Praise God some more. Just say, "Look at my God. Woo! Glory to God. Look at what He did in my life. He saved me." And you make sure you praise God. You make sure you tell somebody. I'm going to tell you something, what God did in my life. I used to go around looking for people to tell people my story. They might not have been interested, but I wouldn't tell them anyway. I want to tell you what God did to me. I used to be in detox before. I used to live in detox part-time. Amen. I was in and out of detox, and they had a bed with my name on it. And that's where I was. I used to be there, and I used to every once in a while go to, you know, I didn't have a doctor, I'd go to emergency. Praise God. Well, somebody said, "Praise the Lord." Well, we praise Him anyway. Thank God. So praise means to boast about. It means to rave about, to rave. Ooh, my God is awesome, man. Oh, it means to commend. It means to speak well of. It means to laud. Amen? So, you know, when we're praising God, that's what we're doing. When we're doing, say, you know, people come in church to see people singing. Then why are they so dancing like that? I don't understand that. That looks terrible. Shouldn't dance, you know, this is a church. Huh? Because if you know what happened to them, if you know how what kind of a trouble they came out of, you'd be dancing too.
Amen.
Huh? They were sentenced to death, or they came out of bad situations. They were in prison, and they had a bad situation. They came out of a mental institution. They were in and out for years, and now they don't have to go back anymore. That's wonderful. Oh, that's glorious. Hallelujah. To be free. To be free from addiction, alcohol addiction. To be free from sexual addiction, prostitution. To be free from fear, from panic attacks. Woo! Glory to God. What a wonderful thing. I used to have panic attacks, and I don't have them anymore. They used to paralyze me. I was paralyzed by panic attacks. I used to sweat at night. I used to, palms would sweat. I don't remember the last time my palms sweat. My heart would palpitate, and I was faint and fall in the grass somewhere, run away, jump off a car, jump off, you know, the bus. I couldn't get on the bus. I would just go crazy. I was in my home, and I would have to look at the windows and look under everything. There might be somebody there, boogeyman. I've been completely set free. You're looking at a man who's completely set free from fear. Amen. I used to sit with a psychiatrist, and he couldn't help me. The pills couldn't help me, but Jesus helped me. Praise God. Amen. He helped me. I'm free. Amen. I was fearful. I lived on a reservation. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on all the time in a reservation. People getting beaten up, getting raped every day. People drinking. There's no food, no water, no nothing. My parents left me alone, left us alone for days at a time. I never saw my mother for 2 days, 2 weeks at a time, 3 weeks at a time. My mother, my dad was gone. My dad'd be gone for a month sometimes. They said he's working. But he's working at his drinking. That's what he's doing. But I was mad at my mother for years and years until I started understanding about, you know, I can be free. I need to forgive my parents and move on. Hallelujah. I've been free ever since. Praise God. I love my parents. Thank God they were wonderful parents when they were sober. Hallelujah. But everybody that drinks in there, you become ugly. You become somebody that, You know, God didn't design you. So I thank God. That's why I praise God. I praise God because I remember those days. I remember waking up in terror and watching my mother, you know, having a relationship with somebody else. Why I couldn't trust people all my life. Why they say, what's wrong with that, Roma? Well, I can tell a lot of stuff happened to me. I saw my parents have relations with other women, other men. And I was messed up as a kid. So I had to get really delivered from a lot of stuff, watching people getting beaten up before my eyes and blood everywhere, splattered everywhere. And the Lord saved me from all that. You're looking at a man who's made up, praise God. Amen? You know when they say, you know, when the Bible says God will take you through the waters, he'll take you through the fire, you know, and you won't smell like smoke, and you won't drown. And I was there before, you know. I thank God in the 70s my mother sobered up. My dad came after, you know. And I never really talked to my dad that much because we couldn't talk. Because for some reason he was not that kind of a person. He wouldn't say, you know, son, sit down, let's have a coffee, let's talk about how we feel. We didn't have that kind of dad relationship. But I wouldn't have that kind of relationship with my kids. They don't want to talk to me. How come I want a relationship with my kids that I didn't have and they don't want nothing to do with me? Sometime, eh? Okay, I'm not going to go. Amen. I'm not getting resentful. I'm just telling you the way it is. Praise God. Now, there's two parts to praise and worship. First of all, as we mentioned, there's a private part. You need to have a personal, individual life, an intimate time with God, and you need to have your own experience with God. Secondly, there is a public time with your friends and your relatives where you come to God and you worship God together. You need to learn how to worship God together. Don't watch your friend and watch him worshiping and say, oh, that's how he does it. Now, if you want to learn, you come to a Tuesday night and see us go crazy a little bit and worship God and say, oh, I can do that too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you wonder why I worship and thank God. You know, they say, well, he had high school graduation. I've gone through a whole pile of stuff. I can tell you stuff that would just, I can't tell everything. I won't tell you just generally what happened, but God brought me out of that stuff. I hated people for years. I just had hate in my heart, and God had to take it out of me. Glory to God. So it says, you know, praise and worship and thanksgiving are all part of a prayer life. They're a part of praying. You got to learn how to do this if you're going to have a right prayer life. You can't be healthy spiritually if you don't have this in your life. You need to learn how to praise God and thank Him when you don't feel like thanking Him. Amen? You know, like sometimes people, you know, somebody gives you something, your dad gives you a sock, so thank you. You know? He said, I don't want that, just throw it away. I was remembering one time, you know, Brother Higgins said he went all his way. He went and bought something for somebody, you know, him and his wife went out and all their way, and they said, oh, I don't want that. Like, receive it graciously. If you don't like it, then just say, thank you very much. Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you for doing that for me. And when they go, you can throw it in the garbage, whatever you want to do with it. Give it to somebody else. But, you know, you can be grateful. You can use it for, wrap it up, give it to somebody else. And when you give something, they can do whatever they want to do with it. If you give me something, give me a gift. If you give me money or give me a shirt or something, and I said, well, I don't like this shirt. Thank you for the shirt anyway. I'm going to give it to Bill over here. And you saw Bill wearing that. And you get mad at me because they gave it to Bill. It's my shirt. Isn't it my shirt? Strings attached, eh? Okay. So, I want you to do something here. If anything else, I want to show you how, you know, you need to praise. Last night we talked about Psalm 100. When we go to Psalm 100, it's not in my notes, but I want to go there. So it's 7:59. I've got 1 minute, apparently. Psalm 59, Psalm 100. Let's go to Psalm 100. Can we go there? Now, I'm reading the King James Version. So there's a benefit of praising God. I want to show you that you need to praise God night and day. It's not just, you know, praise and worship. Okay, let's start right now. Okay, it's over now. Okay, stop praising. You know? Okay, so I'm going to thank him. Watch me. I'm going to thank God now. Now I'm going to praise a little bit, and now I'm going to worship a little bit. No, it's all done, and you know, it's tied in together. Now, Psalm 100. Did you find it? It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Everybody say, "Make a joyful noise."
Make a joyful noise.
Say, "Make a joyful noise,
make a joyful
noise unto the Lord." So, how many of you can actually make a joyful noise? I see some of you didn't even do it. Yeah. So you know, when you leave here, then all of a sudden you're loud. You go to your home, then you're the loudest one at your house. But in church, you don't even praise. You know, but at home and somewhere else, you're a whole lot different person. But we need to learn to do this together. Yeah. Together, you know what I'm saying? So we need to learn how to do it. Like when I went to the Toronto Maple Leaf games a lot of times over the years. I just went to the game. Sorry, somebody said. Okay, anyway, I went there. And then, you know, when everybody score, you know, even if you didn't want to do it, you'd actually want to do it because everybody's doing it. Yeah. You get about 20,000 people praising the team. There's an energy there. How many of you sent an energy tonight? There's an energy here. How many of you sense there's something a little extra? Yeah, there's something extra. Okay. We're going to need some duct tape here. Somebody. Okay, watch it. No, he says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. That's what it is, right? Make a joyful noise. Yes, see, that's what he's doing. Yeah. So any one of us can make a joyful noise. We just go ahead and say, woo, ha, yeah, yay. You know, if anything else, if this has no spiritual significance, it would be just good for you just to do it. Physically, mentally. If you're all mad, you come to church, you're all stiff and everything, it's better for you to just go ahead and shout. At least you got something over here. But there is spiritual significance to it. The Bible says, make a joyful noise. Look at this. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. So there's an attitude to praising and worship. So he says, serve the Lord with gladness, not madness or sadness. I mean, you ask one of these team, you ask this young lady there, she's been worship leader for a while. You look out there, I'm sure she would love to have people join her in praising. Right? It's not time, you know, to whatever you're doing. It's time to just come and enjoy what we're doing. Now, you know, just granted, sometimes we're tired and, you know, whatever, you know, maybe you're being bothered by something. Yeah, there's sometimes, but listen, it's that time. Like, you know, when you come to church, sometimes you have, maybe somebody's trying to phone you, there's an emergency, there's crisis, and you have to fix up something, and thank God, you know, but I'm talking about, you know, there's a time when it's not every day you do that. Take 15 minutes, 10 minutes to praise God. We sing four songs here. And if you went to the other service, they worship for an hour, or they sing songs for 1 hour. Not necessarily worship, they sing songs. Some churches just sing songs just for the sake of it. When real worship happens, you're intimate with God. There's a connection going on. He's talking to you. You're talking to him. Something's going on there in your heart. Something's going on in your mind. You're lifted up. Something happens. You start feeling different. When you're really worshiping, the Bible said, Jesus said in the fourth chapter, he said, my Father is looking to seek people who would worship him. Worship him. And God's looking for that, a heart of worship. And so, as I mentioned to you, you can't blame people if they're not taught. Please, you know, if you've never had this teaching before, I'm not mad at you. I'm not trying to ridicule you. I'm just trying to show you with some of my enthusiasm about what it is to praise and worship. We need to change the atmosphere because somebody in this church might want to, you know, there's something happens in someone's life. Someone in their life, like, you know, in terms of a life, maybe somebody here has cancer. And that extra praise, something happens to that person, their life's changed in that atmosphere. We want an atmosphere where people are loosed. And somebody might have they maybe have fear or something. All of a sudden they come into a place full of the power of God, and all of a sudden they feel free. Hallelujah. So, he says, with gladness, come before his presence with singing. The Bible says when we have a gratitude, a heart of gratitude, there's a song in our heart. There's a song in our hearts. When you're full of the Spirit, there's songs in there. The song of the praise in your heart. You know, so we need to learn to get into that because something happens to a person. The Bible says a merry heart, a person who's happy, their body changes. Something happens to your heart. Something happens to your lungs. Something happens to your kidneys. Something happens to your blood pressure. Something happens in your life. Changes you. Changes your mind. Changes your emotions. It changes you from oppression and depression to a sense of gladness and joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It changes your life. So, it starts at home. It starts when you're alone. Instead of just Googling all afternoon, Google praise and worship and put on a song and start dancing. Practicing your dancing. Oh, when I get to church Sunday morning, I'm going to do this, praise God. Woo! Amen? Amen? Wouldn't it be wonderful? You see everybody going, oh, hey, praise God. Huh? You see that in church? I'm coming back to this church next week. These guys are happy there. Eh? That'd be great, though. I mean, what's in that water? Verse 3, look, watch this. Know ye that the Lord is good, that he is God. Notice that. Know ye that the Lord is good, he's God. It is he that made us. We not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We have to know, verse 3 knows, you know, tells us in there, we have to have this awesome acknowledgement and awesome understanding that we're talking to God. We're worshiping God Almighty. We're having an encounter with God. We're not just here just to wait till the song service is over so I can sit down. We want to worship God. Let me lift my hands for a second. You know, every once in a while in service when I'm preaching something, or if you like it, you just lift your hands and say, thank God, hallelujah. It's not, you know, you're not out of place, you know, oh, hallelujah. Even you might just get up and start dancing. Huh? I like that, you know, I like that kind of thing, you know, when there's such an exuberance in the sermon or whatever, the message, you just say, ooh, this is wonderful. I feel like taking the rhema run. Amen. Now, okay. Oh, I was supposed to go over here. It's not in my notes. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Not complaining. Just a time to start praising God. If you don't have any kind of, like, think about all the things God has done in your life. You stand there and say, thank him. It could be the same thing in the last 20 years. Thank him. You're praising him forever. Thank him. And it says in there, into his courts with praise. Boast about God. Be thankful to the Lord. Bless his name. Notice this. The Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures through all generations. His mercy is everlasting. In other words, it never runs out. Every morning you get up, oh, fresh mercy is there again. Fresh, you're going to mess up, God's there for you. You see, what happens is most people live in their soul all their lives. If you live in your soul all your lives without the Word of God in it, you'll be the most miserable person in your soul. You know what your soul is, right? Your own mind, your emotions. You can't live by your emotions. You can't be living by your feelings. That's why you have to change your mind, change the way you think, change your attitude so that you can be free and God heals you. Amen. That's why we go back to Psalm 34. Let's go back to Psalm 34. We'll close with this. Psalm 34. He says in there, I will bless the Lord at all times. The word bless, you know, it means to boast about God, to give him all the honor and praise. I will bless the Lord at all times, every single day, all day long. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, I believe it's verse 18, we have to give God praise and thanks every day, all day long. So his praise shall continually be in my mouth. In other words, you are going to cooperate with that. You're going to find something to be thankful for God, to God about. You're going to make yourself think about it. My soul. Everybody say, my soul. Did you know, as a person, you have a soul? And you have a responsibility to harness that soul and make it do things and make it feel certain things and make it think about certain things. You don't let your soul be be the devil's playground or just let it empty. You have to put something in there. You have to deliberately think about God and His wonderful goodness. If you just think about, you know, as we said years ago, the edge of night. I remember saying, how many, you remember the edge of night, anybody? That used to be an old, like a, what is it, like a sitcom, is that a sitcom? Soap opera. Yeah. And I remember people say, I got to go home, edge of night is coming on. And so they, you hear this one, edge of night. It was a soap, you know, soap, you know, in the afternoon, right? Everybody rush home after work, 3 o'clock. I got to go home. The edge of night. But you're not going to watch the edge of night. How many of you are going to go tonight? Oh, edge of night. Google it. Watch all reruns. Now, He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. The praise shall continue. So make your, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's talking about you thinking about these things, deliberately thinking about the goodness of God. Think about that. If you don't have anything happening in your life, find it in the Bible. Find out what God has done for you and start thanking God for those scriptures. Amen. You'll get happy. Yeah. It'll change your mind. It'll wash your brain. It'll wash your mind. It'll clear out your bad emotions. It'll straighten it all out. Straighten your thinking, straighten your emotions, harness your feelings, and you'll just be strong in your feelings. It's not easy. But it can be done. It says be glad. He didn't say be mad. Be glad. How does being glad look like? That's right. Yeah. Even with my tooth. Huh? You know, as soon as I mention my tooth, everybody's going. All through the service, eh? And they're trying to zoom it up. They say, Mary says, can you zoom in Pastor's tooth there? We're gonna put that on tonight's YouTube. Camera 3, please. Zoom that a little closer. Yeah, okay, yeah, right there. Hold it. Magnify. Everybody say magnify. What it means? Anybody ever know what a magnifying glass is? What is a magnifying glass? Huh? It makes it bigger. It stretches out something. The Bible said, "Let us magnify God." It make Him bigger in your life. Make Him huge. Huh? You make God big, big. You know, God's big. Everybody say God's big. Everybody say God's big. Come on, say God's big. Open your hands up. Do this. Say God's big. Yes, God's big. Yeah, yeah. And so they say, you know, God's a little feller. Remember Brother Heggie said that? People like in church, they say, you know, oh, God's huge in church, right? After service, they get in the car, God's a little feller. Next thing. The gas went up. God's small. Groceries are just enormously a lot of money, and all of a sudden, God's small. Huh? And so they magnify everything else instead of God. You know, God, you know, He's awesome. He said, "Oh yeah, God's a big giver. God's he's awesome." He said, "We're going to take an offering." What? Amen. Magnify the Lord with me. He didn't say, "I'm going to magnify the Lord myself." He said, "Magnify the Lord with me. Let's go ahead and make God big." Huh? That's what He said. Let's do it together. Not, I'm going to go in that room. I'll just be right back and I'll magnify God. Excuse me. Huh? I'm just going to go in the corner for a while. Just let me magnify God for a moment. Excuse me, okay? I don't want to disturb you. Huh? Then you come back. You look like you come from the woodpile. Huh? What is he smiling? Oh, his God is big. Don't disturb him. Notice this. I want you to notice this. You circled this. It said, let us. Let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name. Let us do it together. Let's do it together.
Yeah.
Let us make God big, man. I mean, we're not talking about shouting. Yeah, we can shout, all right, but I'm talking about there's a sense, a reason behind it. You know, the problems are bigger because people think about them all the time. They magnify these problems. They think about it every day. Oh, my problem is bigger. It's getting bigger all the time. Look at that spot. Right? I had a sore leg. Now I got both of them are sore. Right? Everything's breaking in my body. It's breaking down, you know. So, you know, all of a sudden you're just like crippled. You're only 39 years old. What did you do with your body? You talk yourself into sickness. I think we better quit. Getting carried away here. But we got to magnify God every Sunday morning. You be the best praiser. I mean, just go ahead. I mean, just let it rip, eh? Hey, come on, guys. What's the praise? Worship starting. Come on. Amen. Come on, set up, everybody. Let's make a joyful noise. Come on. Let's make a joyful noise to God. Come on. Let's give him praise. Come on, people. Hallelujah. Oh, he's wonderful. He's marvelous. God is awesome. Come on. He's awesome. He's bigger. He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than sickness. He's bigger than depression. He's bigger. God is awesome. Come on. Oh, he's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. You're so awesome. You took us from being in a black hole to put us on a mountaintop. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My life has a purpose. My life has meaning. There's a reason I'm here tonight. There's a reason you're here tonight. Oh, you're going somewhere. There's a destiny. God has a purpose for you. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you tonight. We're so happy that we can be in your presence to worship you and thank you. Lord, as we walk out these doors, Father, let's not forget that you're awesome. Okay, that problem might seem like it's big. I might emotionally be seeming like overwhelmed by it, but you're larger than that. You're bigger than that problem. You're bigger than the sickness. You're bigger than my mountain right now. I'm going to talk to my mountain. I'm going to say to my mountain, I'm going to talk to it. You can't stay there. You must leave in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and praise him and worship him one more time. Just thank him. Take a moment and tell him you love him. Tell him you appreciate him. His word. Oh, his word is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, wonderful Lord. Oh. And I wish you could sing this song, for thou art Lord.